a weird time where there's still like 3 weeks to the pay-per-view, and
I guess we could sit here and say like who's most qualified to us to win. They haven't filled all the spots, right? Because there's still one left on the women.
There's one, yeah, there's one left for both the men and the women, I believe.
Okay.
And they're both on Raw, so those situations will probably be settled very quickly.
Did they say which matches those are?
I don't believe they've announced any qualifiers yet. No.
Yeah, I don't know if they're gonna be like a.
I find interesting for the men, and I find it significantly less interesting for the women, because I think Chelsea's just gonna end up getting that spot, or Raquel. But I think it should go to Chelsea.
I don't think either of them is really interesting enough to be in the match. But
that's where they're at though, in that with the field that they have.
I guess you kind of have to put Raquel in it because you don't have a big.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't need a big. I don't think you really need a big just to be in there. They don't have a big for the men right now.
That's true.
And I think the issue there also, it's not so much her fault as much as her being put in a position that she might have been too green for last year. But they tried the power spots with her last year, and they kind of sucked.
The last men's spot is Riddle against Priest.
Priest.
Please give it to
Priest. Yeah, so yeah. Priest is the tall boy. He'll get that. I was going to say that they should do Bronson Reed. I'm still a little bit shocked Reed had lost that match to Shinsuke a couple weeks ago, because I thought that he would have been perfect. I feel like most of the formula of the Money in the Bank, you need either a tall guy or a big guy.
Yeah.
So, like, ooh. Priest getting it, it's probably better.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, I guess it depends on what direction they're spinning Riddle off in, even though he seems to probably be next for Gunther. But for the women, they should just give it to Chelsea or Raquel. Liv would be a great spot for her, but she's obviously hurt. But
right. Yeah. I mean, they're in a bad little spot right now because so many folks are hurt. Dakota's hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, it's weird to see damage control on just the two of them, because it's kind of like the split should be happening, but it can't happen because one of them ain't there. Yeah. Let me just go ahead and get started now, because I like the conversation. This is Ruthless Aggression. I am Piers. That's Rob and Chris on the other end. You hear right now. We are in the early to mid thick of it in the month of June. Still a ways out from Money in the Bank. It's happening.
Doesn't feel like it, but we are.
Right. It's happening in early July. So we got some TV time to burn here. And it's primarily taken up by two things. And one's Money in the Bank, which we'll touch on in a bit. The other being the Bloodline story, which I don't think there's much to really dive into besides it's been very captivating. I was at the Wilkes-Barre show, the show that got, I guess, the best... WWE's best rating in years.
It did like 2.9 million, for the final part.
Day celebration, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. I think they started the celebration right before 9:30, and I was like, this is going to run a little bit long. Because Triple H has to come out, give the belt or whatever. So you realize that they took up maybe 3-4 TV segments to do the whole thing. And captivating as ever, because Roman, you get Roman back in his manipulative bag, especially with the two, now the three of them, and he's so good, and then they all play the role very well. I think Solo has really become a star in the little times we've been able to hear him. You know, that's the beauty of Solo, is you only hear him when it matters, and when he speaks, it's poignant. And for him to make the turn that he did, it was fascinating television to watch in person. I can only imagine it was. I haven't watched it back on TV. I can only imagine it was on TV. Story moved along this week. Are you upset that Austin Theory did not lose that belt? Because I saw it coming a mile away. He's been coming away with these cheap wins.
Of course, he was definitely not losing that championship. That was just a setup to test Jay. And to the Bloodline's credit, he did fall in line.
Yeah,
he didn't necessarily like go against Jimmy, but he shoved him. He left the ring and then kind of just went away. I was obviously a little mad that Theory keeps getting cheap wins, but that's the kind of champion he is, and hopefully he gets his desserts at some point or another, but obviously...
Yeah, that's the thing. It's hard to see an endgame for... I mean, it's a mid-card title. It doesn't really matter.
It's a mid-card title. You know what the endgame should be? The endgame should be LA Knight win. But
probably.
Anyway. I mean, the main attraction, obviously, is Jay. I thought I thought he did a great job, obviously, in, you know, the spot that he was given. He performed well in a singles role again. I don't think it's a situation where people are going to be like, oh, well, he should be the one to, you know, end the 1,000-day reign. And it's like, no. But, yeah, I mean, this is just another captivating saga. I will do a little plug here, not for myself. There's a fascinating Paul Heyman interview on Rick Rubin's podcast this week. He goes into a lot about Roman, about the road that it took to get here, about the bloodline, where acknowledged we came from. And, you know, listening to Paul Heyman talk about wrestling is awesome anyway. So, yeah, it's just more bloodline stuff. I felt like it was just relevant to bring that up.
But I'm sorry, this is a 3-hour podcast?
Yes. Yeah, 3 hours and 21 minutes. So.
My God. I know listen what to I'm it doing. See, I was looking for something to do tonight while I clean. I thought it was watch Stanley Cup Final. I found it now.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so very much. Also, have you guys seen The Bear?
Yes.
I have not, but I've heard
it. It is very good. Excited for season 2.
I spent so much time this morning. I haven't slept. I slept 3 hours. I was watching The Bear last night. It's fucking wonderful. Chris,
where is it?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah,
it's on Hulu. FX, it's an FX show, so you can find it on Hulu. But Jeremy Allen White, who was Lip in Shameless, mm-hmm. I think he's playing he's playing Kevin, right? He's playing Texas Tornado. Because I think Zac Efron is playing Kevin. He's playing Carrie in the upcoming biopic. So I am just fantastic actor. I can't wait for that movie in particular. Chris, you mentioned LA Knight. And see, I thought the Scranton Wilkes-Barre crowd last week was just a little bit odd in the way that they just were just completely behind LA Knight. It was, however it sounded on TV, didn't do it justice live. Like, it was vociferous for LA Knight. And they gave Montez all of the heel that, and I don't think he was really playing it, you know, like it didn't feel like the traditional heel face dynamic with LA Knight. LA Knight is still doing LA Knight stuff. I mean, he came out the win, you know, with the ropes, I believe, or the tights. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was wondering if that was a little bit funky, right? You know, it was Wilkes-Barre. But you hear the reaction this past week for LA Knight, and it's like, oh, yeah, nah, they might have something if they can cultivate it. Obviously, he's a little bit older on the older side, but, like, if they can cultivate it pretty quickly, they got themselves an immediate mid-card star. You talked about putting the belt on him, having him beat Austin Theory. Hell yeah. If you can ramp him up as, like, a tweener that just talks shit on the mic and is a badass, him versus Austin Theory would be a very good match.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's reasonable. Like, I see a lot of people on Twitter saying that, you know, he should face Seth or whatever and win the belt for him. I don't really see maybe that much.
No. I'm an LA Knight fan. I like him, but that's a mismatch. He can't wrestle like Seth, and he can't wrestle with Seth. Seth can probably make a match out of anybody, but, like,
yeah.
That wouldn't go. I don't think that would go the way people think that.
Mm-hmm.
LA Knight's just not that kind of work.
No, he'd be a really good mid-card champion, I think. And
putting a ceiling on him, it's just being realistic with what you have.
It's baby steps. Like, he has to take steps to get to that championship level. Not everybody can just be thrusted in there, and they'll stay there. You really want to make the most out of LA Knight while he's here? Like, he's 40 or over 40. You really want to maximize it? Give him a run with that mid-card strap while your two big dogs, for lack of a better word, are currently your champions of Raw and SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, look what happened in the era that we're showcasing right now.
Mm-hmm.
When they had a guy who could talk well. Maybe wasn't the best in-ring worker or technician, but got people to connect with him because he was popular, good on the mic. He won a mid-card title. He was the United States champion for a little bit, and then eventually they brought him up to that level. Kenny.
Yep.
Obviously, a huge difference in age. But that's, you know, it's a close enough comparison, I think, to the type of archetypes we're dealing with.
Shit, I was thinking, obviously Scott Hall didn't win the championship, but, like, you know, from an from an age perspective and where you are on the card, you're not at that main event level, but you got everything in you to be a main event mid-carder, if that makes sense. You're not in the heavyweight championship bout. You're fighting for Intercontinental. You're fighting for United States, but you're kind of in that Miz range where you are the show. And you can damn well be the show. You're not going to be on Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns isn't going to be there all the time. Yeah. You know, SmackDown's going to need those other, you know, big names or at least big talkers to carry the brand of Roman's not there. LA Knight could totally be that. The way he's been getting crowd reactions lately. God, I can't believe they ever tried to make Max Dupree work. Oh, my God. So randomly, Maxine Dupree just popped up with Alpha Academy, but it fit, right? Like when she started wearing the matching outfits and stuff, like it works.
Yeah,
I love that addition to give some shelf life to Alpha Academy.
Yeah. I mean, like that's kind of a bigger overall point where they do more stuff that makes sense now instead of just doing stuff week to week and then, you know, going back on it or whatever. So that's been nice. It's been really nice. About a year into Triple H already, which is crazy. But that's been really nice.
Maxine, by the way, I want to give her a ton of credit just because I had no idea she had any of this in her.
Yeah, she's been
right. It wasn't really her fault. She was featured, you know, very limitedly next to Robert Stone in NXT.
Yeah.
But then they called her up one day and she just showed off this, like, humor and camp and stuff like that.
She
made her a great character.
She was given a role.
She's a very good TV character.
Yeah.
She was put in a role that I don't think she was ready for. Obviously, she got called up a little bit too early when they decided they needed to pivot and go back to the LA Knight thing. And then she stuck with a gimmick that wasn't going to work to begin with. I mean, like, it had a ceiling, you know? So the fact that they pivoted to the Otis thing, but not just that, just making her officially a part of Alpha Academy, like, you know, the whatever with her and Gable was kind of like a strange bedfellows kind of thing. I like it. It gives some oomph to the tag team division that we haven't seen in a while. We need more managers in the tag team division.
Yes.
So I'm really fucking with it. NXT has been real entertaining. I found myself watching NXT a little bit more lately. And the crossover between Raw, SmackDown, and NXT now is starting to feel more fluid. Didn't you guys
think? Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I have no problem with them kind of, if you have nothing to do on Raw or SmackDown, sending these people down there because, you know, they'll get a big reaction because that crowd just loves everybody that comes down there. And like, the other thing is, you know, they can help these people work. Like, you know, Slater and Rhino went back a long time ago and that helped both of them out. You know, Corbin is back there now. Even Ziggler going back, I think, to do that thing with Braun Breaker really helped Braun come along quite a bit. So it's cool when they do this. I'm glad
like that you stopped short with Corbin because, like, you know, Corbin needs a character shift.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer about Corbin because, like, there's a way that they could have handled him where he'd just be a perfectly good mid-card heel for his entire run, but they tried to do too much with him, and now they're kind of in this place where they don't know what to do with him because he's not bad. Like, he's a big guy who can work and give you a good TV match, but just, you know, no one cares anymore.
I don't think it's that no one cares. I think it's just, like, it's not that he's out of place, but they've made it so clear now that they're going with a lot of champions who can hold the title for a long time and work and do all that. I don't know if that's necessarily the role for him. He could be a transition, you know, a good transitional gatekeeper champion or whatever, but like,
right,
where is that fit right now when they're trying to modernize the record books?
And
what they're clearly trying to do.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the gatekeeper spot and who right now in WWE kind of looks at like your ultimate gatekeeper if you need to shift something. And only, it's only happened once, right, so far, but you will look at The Miz to be that person to do it. The Miz is the one that they call on to do house show main events. When he did the main event of SmackDown in Wilkes-Barre against Cody because, you know, Miz can play that role. And I know Corbin can't do it right now, and it kind of popped in my head as we were talking about it. Do you think they haven't talking too much? Because I'm watching the NXT segment, and he's going, and like, it seems like someone with better delivery and someone that, like, I could believe more when they open their mouths could make that promo work. And
yeah, Corbin probably. Didn't
make it work as well as he could have.
I mean, he's never, like, been an excellent promo. So, you know, that doesn't help. Also, the content
there is just this annoying-ass whatever.
That's true. But, I mean, it's probably a little both. I think he'll do really well at NXT, though, you know. And it's interesting with this, like, free agent stuff because they actually seem to have a plan for these people instead of just, you know, you didn't get drafted. Now we're going to just do whatever with you. Like, I don't really like Ali, but it's cool that he's in NXT as well. Mm-hmm. You know, there's guys it's cool for. Like, I don't really get it with Shelton and Cedric because they just kind of stay on Raw and whatever. Like, yeah, that is what it is. But, like, overall, the free agent thing has actually been pretty good. I'm not upset when someone like Dana Brooke, who actually was drafted, goes down there either. I don't care about the brand split that much. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares?
Yeah. Well, wait. She got drafted to what? Raw?
Yeah, she got drafted to Raw, and then totally she was on NXT in the Battle Royal. But, like, you know, it's Dana Brooke. Do you really care?
Right. And honestly, Yokota fooled me. Yeah, I totally thought she was a free agent. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, that's the thing. Like, there's so many folks with unfinished business that kind of need to go back down, not just to rehab, but then, like you said, to help the other folks. Like, Apollo going down was fantastic for him because he was able to kind of get more work, put in great matches with Carmelo and the like. Now he can come up back up to Raw and there might be a place for him. You know, obviously he's going to have to work at it and earn it. Nothing's going to be given to him. But, like, yo, it's a former United States champion. We know he can work. You know, it's just a matter of him getting that last fine tuning. So there's a lot of folks that need it that probably shouldn't have been called up when they got called up. Now that things are more seamless and, you know, we might see Seth pop up on Tuesday to fight Braun, you know, like, you're going to see a lot more of that, and maybe a lot more folks just sticking around for an extended stay, rehab, get some TV work, and then they're ready to come back. But it feels, the flow of television finally feels natural now. It doesn't feel like NXT is just this separate brand that exists and it's niche. And, you know, if folks want to come up, like, yes, it's still developmental. If you watch the fucking, the what was it, six-person tag? The Diamond Mine and the Schism. If you watch that, like, it's fucking developmental.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
at least there's some synergy now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm very happy for it.
And to that point, something I've noticed about Braun's challenge to Seth. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anybody who's on Twitter or can access Seth's Twitter, I don't believe he's actually answered that challenge.
I think they're that's why.
He's talked a lot about everything else. So I guess my question is, are they going to do that immediately, or is that something they're going to spend some time building?
He's going to keep ducking him. That would be fun because he doesn't respect Braun. That'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I think it'd be tough to get it to the Great American Bash because I think it's the end of July.
It is doing end of that, July. So like, that is correct. It's July 30th.
That would be tough, but I guess you could also do it and just have Seth not acknowledge it for a couple of weeks and, you know, have Braun keep talking about it. And then by then you're in July, then it's not as tough to, get it to the end of July.
Here's a thought. All right. I'm just going to trot this out just as a possibility because we're talking about things that we're building up to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We just talked about the brand split also.
Yep.
And he's going to be there anyway because he's working the dark match. Do you do that at the Garden? Do you have a confrontation happen at the Garden? Set something up for Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Because then you do it.
It's been a lot of time. I'm just asking.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Because they're going to Wichita. They're going to, where are they next week?
Yeah.
They're going to a lot of cities that really aren't, quote unquote, no disrespect, just not the major markets or not another major market.
Yeah, and, you know, you want to bring Braun in somewhere. I mean, they're in Cleveland next week. Do it there. They're in
decent place, I guess.
They're in Baltimore after Money in the Bank. Like,
Baltimore's a good spot. Baltimore's a very happy wrestling market. That would be a good spot.
Tampa, the show before Great American Bash, the Raw before, so.
Yeah, but the problem with that is it's 2 weeks before SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Got built to that.
Yeah, so I mean, we'll have to see. Like, it feels like it should be bigger than just you know.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, it's Braun and Seth. Like, they're trying to make Braun a big deal. I don't think, even if Seth wants to be this everyman workman's champion, the fact that he has not addressed it is noteworthy because he addresses everything else. His character's literally insecure about Roman being this guy who isn't defending the title anymore, but not going to answer Seth's bronze challenge.
I mean, 4th of July is on a Tuesday, so maybe if Seth go down there then and try and actually get a number, but no one's going to watch on 4th of July.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. So it's going to be interesting.
Fair and being.
It'll be a good match. Like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It's just a question of when is it going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they're not just going to burn it immediately.
I'm also wondering, like, who's Seth's first challenger? Because from the looks of it,
it's probably gonna be Finn.
I see Finn.
Finn and Money in the Bank would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, because from the looks of it, it's going to be the Usos versus Roman and Solo.
Yeah.
So you're going to need a championship match.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna have to be that. This is gonna have to be that match. Speaking of champions, what do you think of the new women's championship?
I like it.
Yeah, it looks fine. Yeah, I don't.
It pretty much hit all my expectations. I knew what it was gonna look like. It had the big WWE logo in the middle, white strap most likely. Made it all gold. It's better this way. I'm not gonna get caught up in the title aesthetics because now we have non-brand specific titles.
Which true.
Removes so many headaches, it's not even fun.
Yeah.
About time. The brand specific titles, they had their run in the sun. Bayley's going to forever be the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion of all time. Immortal. Very nice. But all things come to an end. So
yeah, I mean, I don't love it, but like, it's fine. Like, I get why. Again, it's been the same kind of critiques, like the big logo on it, but they do it for branding, yeah, and I get
that's
it.
That's why the critiques to me are just kind of boring.
Yeah, it's kind of is what it is.
Yeah,
I think it looks pretty. I mean, the fact that they went back to gold for both the WWE title and then this title here on SmackDown works. The one thing that will look a little bit weird to me is lineage. Like, when you start talking about like what title traces back.
Yeah.
It looks like title. They're using the women's title, the Raw women's title, as just the lineage for them.
Well, that makes sense.
Because if you think about it, it traces back to the original women's title that they converted at Mania 32.
Yeah.
So it's held that lineage the entire
time. So if they do one Monday on Raw, is that going to have a new lineage then?
It's going to probably do the SmackDown lineage. So.
Okay.
Which, I guess is fair. So what do you call it then?
Probably just the Women's Heavyweight Championship.
I don't think you could say heavyweight for women, though. Because who is the champion right now? That's true.
Who's the champion right now? What do they constantly have her do?
No, I agree, but it's a weight class, and they don't fit the weight class.
For let's just say you might not want to do that one.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
Fair.
Like, you don't call it Universal or whatever, sure.
I mean, they could do something with it. I imagine it'll probably be mocked up in a similar way to the New World Heavyweight title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they could also just call it the Undisputed Women's Championship, so I guess you can just call it the Women's World Championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Don't try and reinvent the wheel, just...
Exactly.
Do something simple.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope we get new tag belts out of all this, too.
Most likely will. I think that those are definitely coming.
Yeah.
Are they gonna be on separate brands though? Like, are we getting a SmackDown tag champions, or just gonna be like,
I feel
one
like
universal belt?
They don't have enough tag team now.
But I also feel like if you're gonna do the floating thing with the women, especially now that they're going to be doing the floating thing with the women through NXT too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might as well keep the floating thing for the men also, just so things don't get muddy for no reason. Really, I mean, keeping it, is just the one set of floating champs keeps it to what, like 1 or 2 segments per night?
Mm-hmm.
So
do you get rid of the NXT tag team champions?
I think those could stay because they have more tag teams.
I think the thing with that is the men aren't hurting for TV time and for spots as much as the women are. So I think trying to, merge those things can, help better versus what the goal and the end goal would be for the men,
mm-hmm.
I think. Because obviously you know, everyone wants to talk about it. Everyone wants to now be like, oh, the NXT women are not getting opportunities. First of all, guys, they're going to go down there. I mean, they're not going to ignore it. Not with all this fluidity on television. I refuse to believe they're suddenly just going to rip the opportunity away from the women of NXT. Secondly, you keep running into the same issue. You're running out of bodies. Not all the women on the main roster work every week.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the women on the main roster work in the tag title division. You're always left with the same five or six people. So you have to expand that pool somehow. And if they're not going to put 30 women on every show, and they don't need to, because then everybody is going to be mad if they're not getting the TV spots and times, use the merch the two together. Use the best that you can. Because guess what? Tags, good way to develop because you're only in there for short spurts and you can cover weaknesses. I have no problem with it. God bless. Finally. Let's keep going.
Very well said. Christ. Oh, that's right. The Cavender twins are coming, yo.
They are.
Well, they have tryouts. But,
listen,
yes.
The only thing stopping the Cavender twins from coming is an A-plus modeling gig going the Cavender twins way.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
cool. Good for them.
Yeah, I kind of liked how they were kind of sprinkled in. I don't think they're going to be like a regular thing. They might appear with Chase U, but I don't think they're going to, you know, actually wrestle for quite some time.
They still have to try out. I believe they said the tryout's happening next month.
Mm-hmm.
So when that eventually happens, I'm sure they'll get a good look. They'll most likely be in. They obviously have a great athletic background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're going to be, I'm sure that they are going to be good. And I'm also sure that people are going to be incredibly annoying.
Very yeah. annoying about them. But I mean, like, that's just like what men in pro wrestling. But like that treatment has only been given to one other NIL person. We ain't seen Gable in a minute, but like, you know, they got the Gable treatment. So level, or I guess two, because the Gable's Olympian mate. Also
oh, yeah.
got the love too, so not as much as Gable, but you know, that would be the recap of the last couple weeks. I think we can go on and talk about 2007, y'all.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, no, there's not much more going on. You know, Collision starts on Saturday. CM Punk is back. That's going to be fascinating to watch play out.
I was going to say, are you interested in CM Punk and the Revival against who the fuck?
Honestly, like, I don't want them to tag as much as everyone else seems to want them to. Like, they kind of bring out the worst in each other. Like, I would have rather just seen, you know, CM Punk and Samoa Joe have a 7-minute match or whatever, and that probably would have been more fun, but I mean, whatever. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to Collision. They have, you know, 3 months until college football starts, so see if they can put out something that's good and impressive and wins everyone over. AEW's just kind of cold right now, man, and it's wild to see because you know, WWE's hot. Usually when they're hot, the rest of the industry's hot, but, like, yeah. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, I saw that they're doing their last live event, or they did their last live event in a while a couple nights ago. And with the shows popping off on Saturday and pay-per-views happening Sunday, it's going to be very hard for them to do a touring loop. And
they're
doing bad numbers already. So the fact that they're not going to be touring is a little bit alarming, at least for me.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll have to see how that plays out. And then just see one other thing. Chris Sabin won the X Division title last night, and Alex Shelley won the Impact World title finally. So
Wait. I saw Alex Shelley won Impact World title. Chris Sabin just won the X Division?
Yeah.
He's cool winning X Division, and Alex Shelley won the... Okay. I'd be like, damn, man, like, I'm happy for you, my man. So were they just in separate matches? Because I don't even know why. First off, why the fuck was Steve Macklin champion?
Yeah, he beat
Josh Alexander, right?
Yeah, Josh Alexander got stripped or whatever, and it was open. And I think Steve Macklin beat Kushida, I believe, was the match.
That sounds
and
about then, right.
Yeah, so then last night they did Macklin against Alex Shelley, and Alex Shelley won. And, I mean, he's been there for...
Yeah,
20 years or whatever. I mean,
yeah,
it's good.
That's a legacy title. Good for Alex Shelley. Motor City Machine Guns were one of my favorite tag teams of the era that we're watching right now. So them getting championship love and really just a thank you after so much years of service is is pretty cool. Also, before we go back to 07, I guess we really got to talk about Forbidden Door, because this...
It's looking good.
This looks really fucking good. Like, you, all you really had to say was Okada and Brian, and I'm hooked, and I'm sold. You got Omega Osprey.
And did you see their first match?
Yes.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yes,
fucking phenomenal. So really, and Osprey's gonna get it licked back. That's okay. You know, these things, the ping ponging happens. But we could, knock on wood, could get our GTS versus GTS match finally.
Yes, and absolutely.
We get that. You got 1, 2, 3. That might be what AEW needs to kind of flip some shit around. I know this is a New Japan thing too, but like, AEW is the one who wins here if they're able to pull this off. So
yeah, no, absolutely. So I mean, and that's the thing about them being cold. Like the pay per views, the next couple look good. Like the Wembley show, I imagine is going to be good, and
that guy has like to be good. They don't have a choice.
That's true.
They've been putting so much into going and doing Wembley. I don't think there's been a wrestling show at Wembley since SummerSlam. So they're putting a lot into doing this show. It better be. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we can go back to 2007. We got to finish out May here. A couple weeks left of May, and then we'll go into June next week. June will be interesting because there's 1 week that we don't have a Raw to talk about. You know. But yeah. Top five songs, down to five, Give It to Me, down to four, Girlfriend, up to three is Buy You a Drink, up to two is Because of You, and staying at number one is Makes Me Wonder by Maroon 5. Yeah, top five movies, debuting at number five is Delta Force, which I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, I think there was a cartoon with the rodents, I think.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Sounds about right.
Down to four is Disturbia, debuting at number three is Georgia Rule. Debuting at number two is 28 Weeks Later, and staying at number one is Spider-Man 3.
So I completely lied about that. Delta Farce.
No, Delta Farce is, okay,
is a wartime comedy. Can you guess who it's from without looking it up?
Who is it?
The Blue Collar Comedy Tour. Remember those guys?
Oh, Bill yeah, Lindholm, that's why I don't remember.
Larry the Cable Guy. I don't think Jeff Foxworthy was in it, thank God.
They got Danny Trejo in this movie.
DJ Qualls, who actually like DJ Qualls, not gonna lie. DJ Qualls is a funny ass dude.
All right. We have a couple releases this week. Let's see. WWE cut Vito, Sabu, Ariel, Mitch, and Scotty Tuhati. So
can't say any one of them was going to be missed. Although Mitch did date Tori Wilson for a minute.
That's true.
So good for him.
Yeah, and I mean, Sabu, there wasn't really much more to do. It's kind of surprising he lasted a year there.
It's surprising he's still lasting.
Yeah, he didn't really do anything in the Jericho and Cole match, but it was cool to see him show up, I guess.
He's still lasting. This is the crazy. Like, the fact that like Sabu would definitely be in that realm of wrestlers that you're like, damn, how are you still pushing? You know, you watch a lot of dudes, and Stevie Richards, for example. He's got his issues now, and... If you would tell me Stevie Richards is the one having, you know, back surgery and a bad back at this point, but not Sabu, and Sabu's able to at least walk down the fucking ramp, I'd be shocked.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, hey, of course I'm happy, you know. And on that note, RIP to Iron Sheik.
Oh, yeah.
Who I don't think, I think we talk about him in the sense of like Hogan. And in the 80s, but from really being like a true real deal heel. When I say wrestling's racism, like wrestling is racism, like most definitely, for sure. In that era, there was no better national heel than the Iron Sheik, but you know, was able to really encapsulate what it meant to be a bad guy and to make you hate him. But at the same time, you're like, damn, he's fucking good. So yeah, RIP, Iron Sheik.
All right, so we got Raw from Hampton, Virginia. John Cena's here. Doesn't have the title right now because Kali stole it. Eventually, Kali appears on the screen with Dave Kapoor, his translator, and says if Cena wants the title back, can come get it Sunday at Judgment Day. Cena goes backstage to ambush Kali, but gets beat up.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. Jeff Hardy defeats Trevor Murdoch. Coach is facing Lashley tonight. Vince Neumagar getting him fired up. Vince is in a purple suit and a do-rag, which is just a hilarious look. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
We get a video that Snitsky's coming back to Raw, so that's fun, I guess.
Yeah.
He's gonna come back and do his foot fetish thing, and you know. Santino defeats Chris Masters again. Chris Masters puts him in the master lock after Santino is now residing in Paterson, New Jersey. So he's not from Italy anymore.
Good for Santino. I was going to make a joke about Italians moving to North Jersey, but it's right there.
Candice defeats Victoria. Edge is here for his farewell address. He's done with Raw and going to SmackDown. He's going to give the fans one last match, but they don't deserve it. Shawn Michaels comes out and challenges Edge, and Edge agrees, and he will actually face Shawn Michaels tonight. Lashley squashes Coach, and then Shane and Umaga attack him. He fends off both, and Vince runs backstage. Lashley catches up to them to see Shane leave in the limo, so he thinks they all left, but Vince comes up behind him and hits him with the ECW Championship. Sneaky. Carlito defeats Val Venus. Thank you for that. Ric Flair sends him running after. Randy Orton and Shawn Michaels set up a match for Sunday at Judgment Day. Then we get Michaels against Edge. And the problem I have here is Edge won the title 3 days ago, and then Shawn just pins him clean. Really no reason to do that, especially since Shawn was already dealing with a concussion.
Right.
So,
and are you just randomly going to have a non-title match?
Yeah, so it's just
not
like...
Shawn's going to want a challenge for the championship? Like,
Shawn... Could have faced. I mean, I don't know who he could have faced instead is the problem, but like, you know, you could have just made the match for, because then Orton beat him down after, and that kind of sets up the match for Judgment Day, which doesn't end up really being a match anyway, which we'll get into in a minute. But yeah, that was Raw. It was not a lot going on. Speaking of not a lot going on, ECW, RVD defeats Snitsky, Punk defeats Steven Richards, Kevin Thorne defeats Nunzio, and Lashley defeats the New Breed. So that's what's going on over there. ECW is going to look a lot different soon because RVD's wrapping up and the New Breed's wrapping up because Monty Brown's not going to be there much longer and there's a draft coming up and yeah, so things are going to change, probably not for the better, but that's ECW.
What, for the draft?
Yeah.
That's really weird. I don't really remember too much about the 07 draft, so this will be interesting.
Well, it just kind of pops up out of nowhere.
That's the thing. Like I remember the 08 draft.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in the 09 draft when I was starting to fade off the wagon.
Yeah.
No recollection of the 07 draft. So
ECW
really fascinating.
ECW gets Nitro. You know, they
it's how he goes to draft, but he just went there just because.
No, he gets drafted. They obviously get Benoit, but that doesn't really pan out, obviously. Yeah, SmackDown from Baltimore. MVP defeats Matt Hardy. He's coming for Benoit on Judgment Day. Jimmy Wang Yang and Brian Kendrick and Paul London defeat Deuce and Domino and Chavo.
Fantastic six. Jesus.
Oh, a great bit to put the titles on Deuce and Domino. Just beat them every week.
Every week. Because we, you know, that definitely won't have a negative effect on anybody. For the record, by the way, I know we were talking about AEW before. I'm glad Tony Storm can finally get an advertised match.
There you go.
Very fun.
Mark Henry defeats Funaki. Mark Henry is back. Benoit defeats Finlay by DQ when MVP interferes. But then Ozzy Osbourne shows up.
Yeah, this is a big summer for Oz.
It is. Very big summer.
I don't want to stop. He's on Madden 08.
He is.
With this song also, the Guitar Hero.
He performs I Don't Want to Stop, which is the theme song for the pay-per-view. You would think he would just perform it at the pay-per-view, but he performed it on SmackDown instead, and I forgot how good that song is.
It's not a bad pay-per-view theme, I'll say that.
No.
Yeah, it's your standard 2000s WWE pay-per-view song.
Yep.
Yeah.
The usual hard rock, you know, demographic that they're not really chasing anymore, even though they're doing some weird stuff with their music choices nowadays.
But here's the thing. Society-wise, they gotta kind of stray away from doing like hard rock for every single pay-per-view.
Yes,
I like when like they do it for certain ones that fit a theme. Like you do it for an Armageddon, if they still do that, or a Vengeance.
You know,
SummerSlam doesn't need some heavy metal.
SummerSlam's a part.
Make me feel like I'm at a party. Make me feel like it's the biggest party of the summer. Hell in a Cell. I was going to say Hell in a Cell, turn it up. Elimination Chamber, turn it up. Royal Rumble, make me feel like it's a big flashy deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't use Hardy.
Yeah. Yeah, don't use Hardy.
don't ever use Hardy again.
I guess he
And have you turned that song off on 2K yet?
I turned all the songs off except the like superstar entrances. I don't like any of the songs in that game.
I hate that I gotta turn off.
That's like it comes like on. Bad 10. You can turn off the soundtrack of the NFL films music.
Yep.
Exactly. That was my favorite part about the old Maddens is going and doing the the actual NFL films music and then the remixes, because the remixes were kind of hard. Not gonna lie. Oh, miss old Madden.
Anyway. Miz defeats Christian York.
Vicky, what fucking name was that? We don't have Joey Mercury's not with the company.
He's not.
Really funny that Christian York just shows up then, because obviously those two were tag team partners in ECW.
They were, yeah. Mm. Vicky Guerrero is Teddy Long's new assistant now, so that's unfortunate.
That's awful convenient, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really convenient that she just suddenly shows up there when Edge is world champion. I wonder if it's a correlation.
Kane defeats William Regal, and then Edge is here for his inaugural address to SmackDown. You know, he does the usual Edge promo. Batista comes out, says he wants the title back, and Edge says he'll see him Sunday.
I think it's really unfortunate that, and this will probably be a theme throughout the year, I really wish there was more to Edge Batista. It feels like there should be.
Yeah. I mean,
it's really unfortunate that the injury situation happened, and they have to kind of dive right into this.
Yeah, and because Batista's kind of hurt too, but that like too, not as hurt as everyone else, so... Anyway, Judgment Day 2007 from the Enterprise Center in St. Louis, Missouri.
Yes.
Then called the Scott Trade Center.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was Saturday.
No, I think it was Scott Trade by then. We lead off with Ric Flair against Carlito. Again, probably would have been better to just have it on WrestleMania instead.
You don't say that, you know, wrestling Ric Flair at WrestleMania would have felt cooler than this.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's pretty basic, like, this era Flair match. He just yells a lot and does chops and wins with the figure four, which also probably isn't the best decision, but, you know, whatever.
They were burying Carlito at this point. I'm sorry.
They were.
I don't like to, you know, throw that word around, because sometimes if it's misused, not misused in this case. They're absolutely burying that dude.
Yeah.
And it sucks, because he started off really well, and he was incredibly popular.
Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels with Todd Grisham. He's not 100% tonight, and he can see why people think Randy has the upper hand, and then Randy comes in and throws him into a big piece of wall and scaffolding, and Shawn's hurt. He already has a concussion. Now he's going to be even worse. Lashley beat Vince and Shane and Umaga to regain the ECW championship, but he pinned Shane and not Vince, so Vince says it doesn't count. So guess what? We get another month of this.
Yes.
The doctor backstage is not going to clear Sean tonight, but Sean says he's going out there anyway.
Because Grin?
Okay, because we're really doing a concussion angle.
We are.
This is kind of uncomfortable.
This is the times we're in.
This is when that first kind of started to emerge, right? Or like we're a year or so off.
Yeah.
Some around that, because I want to say... I wanted to call him that dude Mike Redman, but I almost called him Mike Redman, the baseball player. Mike Webster was 02, but I don't think folks really started to pay much attention to CTE and the like. I want to say it was the first suicide attempt from Dave Dorson, which would have been around this time.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah.
Which would have been around this time. So... Yeah, you know, now that you like you put it in, and again, and of course it coincides with Benoit next month when folks really start to take this shit seriously. You look back on it now, especially like as close as it is, this is Benoit's last pay-per-view, you know?
Yeah.
As close as it is to his passing and the tragedy that comes, to see concussion angles really play out, I would assume, for the last time. I can't imagine they would do something like this after Benoit passed.
Yeah. The other thing, 2006, like, Nowinski wrote a book about concussions. That's kind of when it started becoming a thing. Then 2007, he started, like, the foundation or whatever.
Yeah.
That was right around this time as well, because it all kind of came together, because Christopher Nowinski was kind of all over the media after the Benoit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and then 2 years later, when Chris Henry died and they diagnosed him with CTE,
So it's a little bit jarring, like in hindsight to watch back and Yeah, I would assume this is one of the last times that they ever did this.
Yeah. CM Punk defeats Elijah Burke. I mean, what else is new?
The mid-card ECW match.
Yeah.
He was with Crystal backstage. He did in 3 seconds what Batista did not do in 3 months, and that's defeat The Undertaker. It is not Batista's title. It's Edge's, and it's going to stay that way.
Yes.
We move to Shawn Michaels versus Randy Orton, which doesn't... sort of happens, sort of doesn't. Shawn comes out after Randy told Justin Roberts to announce a forfeit. He looks very concussed, quote-unquote. The ref told him that he doesn't have to do it, but he told him to ring the bell. Eventually, Orton just spikes him with an RKO. Like, spikes him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's another one that he does to Van Dam.
Yeah.
I think that's the next month at One Night Stand, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more of a spike. This is the beginning of the climb for Orton.
Yeah, this is when he kind of starts to change the Viper. And, yes. You know, and
his motives start changing in his head. This is the beginning of the one man dynasty run. One of my favorite runs of Orton ever.
We also, you know, Shawn's wife comes in the ring and they stretcher him out, and they really kind of hammer this home. And it does do a lot to kind of get Randy over.
Yes,
Shawn will be back in about 5 months, and things will be very different then.
They will be, but he's going to go after Orton.
Yeah,
and I cannot wait to watch that match back because it's amazing.
Yep. The Hardy Boys put the tag titles on the line against Cade Murdoch. The entire angle played out on Raw, but they had JBL and Cole on the call for this one. It's interesting. Another good match. These two teams just have good chemistry.
Yeah, they do.
Jeff hits Swanton for the win, and then they finally shake hands with Cade Murdoch, so they respect them now. Edge and Batista go out and have, I mean, it's
pretty much what I said.
Yeah, it's not a bad match.
It sucks.
They only get like 10 minutes. They didn't really have any build to it.
No, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, Edge wins with kind of a roll-up. Like I said, it was only 10 minutes, didn't really get going. We get MVP against Benoit in a 2 out of 3 falls match for the U.S. title. MVP wins in straight falls, which you don't usually see.
Did not usually see, especially at that time of, you know, running these 2 out of 3 falls matches. So.
Yeah.
Good way to put the young guy over.
Yes. Then we move
Shout out to MVP, he's about to have a great United States title.
He is.
Yep.
We move to the main event, which is John Cena against the Great Khali. They did the classic spot where Khali gets tied in the ropes like Andre used to do.
Yeah.
That was fun. Other than that, I mean, not really much to it. They got like 7 minutes, and it was fine. It just, they kept it short. And
Plays the hits.
Cena won, so yeah, it was fine. That was Judgment Day.
Very pay-per-view that existed.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, which hey, is much of the pay-per-views in 2007. Nothing really memorable from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Got one more week here. So we got top 5 songs, down to 5 Because of You, up to 4 Give It to Me, up to 3 is Girlfriend, down to 2 is Makes Me Wonder, and up to number 1 is Buy You a Drink.
Song was fucking everywhere that summer.
Yep.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Top 5 movies. Georgia Rule falls to 5. 28 Weeks Later falls to 4. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End debuts at 3, which is surprising. Yeah, I mean,
please, you know why.
Yeah, I mean, the two movies ahead of it are Spider-Man 3 and Shrek 3.
Shrek made 149 million.
Wait. These all didn't come out on the same week, right? I thought Spider-Man had already been out.
Yeah,
Spider-Man was out. I think Pirates and Shrek came out the same weekend, though.
Yeah, Pirates and Shrek came out the same weekend, yes.
Yeah. So Shrek 3, yeah, May 18th. Yeah, that's a hard one. You know, I think Disney didn't really play the cards as well as they could have. Because, by the way, if you want to know, like, more about Disney and the Renaissance and the development of DreamWorks, there's a lot of good stuff on YouTube that you can find out about that. But Shrek, which could have been a Disney product, by the way, is such a powerhouse at that point. It's the third one. It's the trilogy. And you get the kids, which... Pirates is a little bit too scary, and it's PG-13, and like I didn't remember feeling like, yo, I really got to come back to the movie theater to watch 3 after, the Stronger Town, the second one, whatever the fucking name the second one was. And then, I guess it's third week of Spider-Man, but like as shitty as it was... that was the superhero movie that you would go to see. Like, literally, X-Men, like, Spider-Man was the one that was getting all the all the box office buzz. So, I guess when you mention that, when you put it in that perspective, Pirates getting third is not as shocking. But what was the number, the first week number on Pirates?
First week number on Pirates was 13.24 million.
That might have been more limited release, too.
It might have been limited, because it was in 3,100 theaters.
Yeah, and Shrek's in, like, over 4,000. So,
they were in an extra 1,000 theaters,
I think the next week is the wider release, if I'm looking for Our Worlds. And so then that would make even more sense, but...
Yeah, because it looks like next week Pirates is number one and they get 160 million and they're in, 4,300 theaters. Yeah, so it must have just been kind of limited.
Limited at first and then both.
That makes sense. Yeah. But I think, the other thing is, they film Pirates 2 and Pirates 3 back to back, and not a lot of people, I mean, a lot of people like 1, not a lot of people like 2, so that might have hurt the early return for 3.
Yeah.
They came out like a year apart from each other, too, where there was a bigger gap between 1 and 2, so.
And plus with Spider-Man 2, I mean, people love that
movie. Yeah,
right.
So
exactly.
They wanted to go see the third, even if it did end up being stent in some people's eyes.
Yeah. Okay. Raw. From
Quad Cities.
From Moline, the mark of the Quad Cities.
Yeah.
Lashley's here. He's going to be in most of the show tonight, so.
80% of
it. Yeah. He challenged Vince, but Vince comes out and says he's facing the Blue Meanie at One Night Stand, so he can't face Lashley.
He's facing who?
He's not actually facing the Blue Meanie. He's just ducking Lashley. But then Shane comes out and says Lashley has to have some respect for Vince because Lashley was, saying he's a coward and all that stuff. And Lashley has a gauntlet match tonight. And if he wins against everyone, he can face Vince at One Night Stand.
Yeah. But you will see that it's not actually a gauntlet.
No, it's not. He just has like 6 matches. We get Carlito against Flair in a rematch. They do a double countout. And then Carlito does a backstabber to Flair on the floor. So it's not over.
It's kind of a nothing result, though. I don't really
Yeah.
We're going to
do a nothing result, do a nothing result in the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to bury him, but we're going to keep the storyline going.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
All right, we got Candice Michelle defeating Melina. This is an important result, especially because in a couple of weeks we're going to be going backwards, even if we don't watch Vengeance and I have a chance. Bobby Lashley competes in his first gauntlet match against Chris Masters and he wins. But you see, this isn't actually a gauntlet. He is merely resting.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to really rest in a gauntlet match.
No, because then we do the Hardys against Nitro and Kenny, which, very strange tag team.
Very strange.
World's Greatest Tag Team is on commentary and attack the Hardys after, but Cade and Murdoch come out and make the save, and that's going to lead to an excellent ladder match at One Night Stand.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Great Khali and Dave Kapoor in the ring say Khali's foot was under the ropes when he tapped the STFU. That's his name. And his name's Ranjan Singh or whatever, but his actual name is Dave Kapoor.
Right.
He was a writer for a long time.
Which is so weird because it's like Dave Kapoor is a perfectly fine Indian name.
Yeah.
His
fucking last name's Kapoor.
Yeah.
But it needs to be Ranjan. Like, no.
We don't need to do that.
Yeah. No. Cena comes out and says that it was under the ropes. He can admit that, but Khali tapped anyway, so nothing we can do. Beats him up. So, yeah. Bobby Lashley defeats Viscera in the second part of the gauntlet match. Yes.
Yeah.
Again, not really a gauntlet match, but.
Oh. He said that he had to do against the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. He's sorry that Shawn's wife had to witness it, but it's business, and he's a legend killer.
Yes.
So. As we can see, he's losing his heart.
He is.
And his soul is just turning evil in front of our very eyes. This is, like I said, I'm going to say to this every week. This is going to be fun to rewatch.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because as a kid, I really wanted to see Cena and Orton wrestle really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen those occasional times, but it wasn't on a big stage. So the moment that they announced it, one of my favorite moments of all time. So
yeah.
I need to see that in a couple months.
Lashley beats Umaga by disqualification when Umaga beats him down with a chair, but Lashley is able to rally and beat Shane and win the gauntlet. So we get Bobby Lashley against Vince McMahon at ECW One Night Stand 2007 in a couple weeks.
Good for Lashley.
Yeah.
Who fought off certain trouble, just like The Rock did when he prevented himself from getting fired in 2000.
It's true. Mm-hmm. True. ECW from Des Moines. We get Snitsky squashing Tommy Dreamer. I don't know why they did a Snitsky thing on Raw to just have him keep being on ECW. I also don't really care. Kevin Thorne also squashed some guy from Iowa.
What are we doing with this dumb show?
Yeah. Matt Stryker defeats Brett Major along with Brian Major.
Which one is which?
I don't remember which one is which. I don't even remember the Major Brothers. I just remember the Edgeheads.
Yeah, Armageddon is when they start to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then CM Punk and Rob Van Dam defeat the New Breed by disqualification to end the show, and that was ECW.
Brett Major, by the way, Matt Cardona.
Okay. Okay. All right. On to SmackDown. Edge opens the show and talks about beating the Undertaker and then defeating Batista and says that, you know, he's just running through everyone. Teddy Long says, you know, not so fast. He's going to face the winner of a Fatal 4-Way in a steel cage at One Night Stands. So they're going to do Fatal 4-Way tonight. It'll be Batista, Mark Henry, Fit Finley, and Kane. The winner will face Edge in a cage match at One Night Stand.
Big dudes in Finley.
Yep. London and Kendrick defeat William Regal and Dave Taylor by disqualification when Deuce and Domino come out and interfere. And then all three teams start brawling.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What's going to happen there?
Sure. Jillian Hall is in the ring singing her new song. Did not realize until a couple weeks ago that she's supposed to be a rib on Brooke Hogan.
Yes, she is.
Which is hilarious.
Wait, because, explain that one.
Well, because, yeah, Brooke was trying to launch her singing career. That was, like, the big thing of Hogan Knows Best season, whatever the later seasons were.
She did a freaking collab with Paul Wall.
Yeah, she did. And she sure did. They were mad at Hogan at this point because, you know, he didn't want to do anything at WrestleMania. And, you know, they couldn't agree. And this was just one of the 700 times in the mid-2000s they were mad at each other. So their
decision was to have Lillian Garcia do an album?
Jillian Hall.
Oh, why the fuck did I hear Lillian?
I think Lillian did.
Yeah, no, she did. That's why I was thinking it was during this time. So this is the beginning of the sliced bread Jillian Hall.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And the bit is she's very bad at singing and, looks like Brooke Hogan.
Because I knew it was a Brooke thing, but I also thought they were like trying to.
I never knew that was a Brooke Hogan thing. I never knew that was a Brooke Hogan rib. That is an excellent rib.
It's excellent
because Jillian is the perfect person to play that. Because nobody else in WWE history, maybe Chelsea Green. This is why like I kind of look at Chelsea Green as the new age Jillian Hall. No one could be as goofy as shit with that gimmick than Jillian Hall.
It's
absolutely wonderful. By the way, thank you, Boogeyman. Saved us. Thank you.
Speaking of the Boogeyman, this segment ends with him coming out and spitting worms on her. Oh, God, their history continues.
She must have PTSD at this point.
Teddy Long officially offered the assistant position to Vicky Guerrero. Again, just very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Matt Hardy defeats The Miz. Very good match. Miz is really starting to come along.
He is starting to come along.
MVP's here for a U.S. Championship celebration. Said no one believed in him, but now he has the title, so they have to believe in him.
Sure.
Chris Benoit should be there to help him celebrate because, you know, he was part of it too. And Benoit comes out. And they shake hands, congratulate each other, and kind of raise the title, and then Benoit tags him. So, I guess
I would, personally speaking, have done that in reverse.
Yeah, probably
have MVP attack Benoit.
Yeah, kind of cool. The point
that would make more sense.
Send him off to the pasture. He lost two falls in a row, fair and square, and now he's out there being a sore loser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have a match, right? It's not like MVP cheated to win. He beat him with a roll up and the playmaker. So if you're going to lose by via roll up, do better.
If anything, that should constitute a flip. And MVP should be the sympathetic one here and the one that we all should be rooting for. But I don't know. I'm just trying to tell the people, I'm just trying to foreshadow for some folks that maybe MVP was the good guy in this situation.
Yeah.
I've ran into him. He seems like a pretty sweet dude.
He does.
I've never run into Chris Benoit, and I hope I never do, because that means that I'll go somewhere that I don't want to be. Maybe I'll meet Rush Limbaugh there. Hell, maybe maybe Pat Robertson's there. I don't want to do that. So, like, let's... let's just, we're trying to tell you something here. That's all I'm trying to say.
Jimmy Wang Yang defeats Chavo Guerrero, who has the Cruiserweight Championship still, a belt that will soon be phased out.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are nearing the end of the Cruiserweight Championship. I believe it expires at the Great American Bash.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Because they do the thing, Hornswoggle wins it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in the Fatal 4-Way Number 1 Contenders match, as you probably could have imagined, Batista gets the win. Yes. You get Batista and Edge in a cage. Hopefully it's better than the Judgment Day match. I don't know if I've ever seen One Night Stand.
One Night Stand.
I don't think I ever saw that show.
I've seen the ladder match, which I'm excited for. Cause
I've definitely watched it, but I have no recollection.
Yeah.
There's no way that I didn't watch it growing up, but I don't have any recollection.
Yeah, that was SmackDown. There is a Saturday night's main event next week, which they have not talked about on television yet, and looks very bad, and I don't even know if we're going to really cover it too much, because those don't matter anymore.
Just watch it to see how bad it is.
Yeah.
This wasn't the Holyfield one, right?
No, that's later in the summer. We're going to watch that one.
Right, because I think the Holyfield one they had was the last one that they did. I don't remember them being one after that.
Yeah, let's
see. The Holyfield one happens at the Garden.
It does.
Right.
I think they taped it, right?
They did tape it, yeah.
Yeah.
They do one more in 2008, which
I know there's
not much to it.
There's a weird one that happens. It's either this one that we're talking about now, or it's that one that you just talked about then. I remember watching it at my grandma's house. The thing about it was it was presented in a weird way where they were like advertising the wrestlers beforehand. Mm. And it was done very differently. I'm interested to see if this is the one that I saw or if that's
it. Yeah, the one next week, the main event, and I mean the main event on Saturday night's main event has never really been a thing historically, but like the main event is Kane, Doink, and Eugene against Kevin Thorne, Viscera, and Umaga.
Oh my god. So weird.
Yeah.
WWE in 2007, folks.
Yeah. So that's next week. Yeah, I think they all are.
To be fair, they could probably do this nowadays. Saturday night's main event.
They probably could. Like, I don't know if NBC would still. Actually, they probably would.
I'm just thinking because you know, in the spring and summer, you know, content wise, live sports is running things, and up until USFL starts, which would be April, there's nothing for WWE or for NBC to do. For on Saturday nights from January up until April, maybe they can do some Big Ten basketball games. I've heard that's just a Peacock thing, but like there's some windows where you can do a Saturday night's main event either on NBC or on Fox, because it also was on Fox before. So like it could exist, and I'm looking at some of the last numbers for it. The last for the last incarnation. It was pulling 3.1, 2.6, 2.2, 2.5, 1.4. I think they could get that, if not a little bit less, and it'd be okay at this point.
Yeah.
And it'd be,
yeah, I think if you do them like quarterly or like twice a year or whatever. Yeah, it's not because I mean, they could do it on Fox too, because like they in the 80s, like the early 90s, they moved to Fox from NBC. Mm-hmm. And, that's kind of what killed it the first time. But like, you know, now that they have this new deal with Fox and probably work a little better.
Mm-hmm. More live content on these weekend nights. Like they'll definitely go for it if it's leading into or coming out of something. Mm-hmm. Fox might be a little bit of a stretch because you're in these little hours, you're dealing with not XFL, USFL and MLB. Whereas NBC is just MLB, and then you kind of have the trade-off of NASCAR. But, like, who cares about that? Anyway, let's get out of here because we've run a little bit too long. At Cameron Santo, at Robert O'Neill 31, at Chris M. Novak. That's where you can find us on our Twitter pages. At Barbara Sharonette on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/BarbaraShareDigital. We'll begin the month of June going into, is it Night of Champions, is it called?
One Night Stand.
It's not Night of Champions. Night of Champions is July, right?
It's the end of June. It's the show that Benoit doesn't show up at.
No. I know. I'm saying like, because I thought Night of Champions is in 2007. Maybe I got the July pay-per-view mixed
it's
up.
It's Vengeance Night of Champions.
That's
it's the same show.
Mm-hmm. And
Night of Champions officially in 2008.
Because I'm like, it has a tag, it's the tagline, not the actual.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Tagline and Vengeance, and then they get rid of Vengeance probably because they wanted to just remove themselves from Benoit, I would imagine. They just decided to call it Night of Champions.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that show because it was main evented by John Cena and Triple H.
Yes.
Yes, it was. Let's get out of here. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back talking more wrestling in a bit. For Rob and Chris, I am Pierce. We'll see you guys later.